Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. In Empowering Your Property, we get experts to help break down some of the numbers that have been coming out. And today we're joined by Eugene Lim, Key Executive Officer at ERA Realty. Eugene, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me on the show, Howie.
So the private residential market resumed its upward march in November, with sales up nearly 19% month on month, following a 225% surge in the number of new homes launched. So November's uptick in sales to almost 770 units from just over 640 in October followed a temporary pullback in October's sales after the URA clamped down on the reissue of options to purchase. So let's talk about whether or not the numbers indicate the new curbs. Were they taken into account, Eugene?
Well, basically, the new curbs that were introduced in the end of September was basically to put a stop to a practice that which reissue options to the same purchaser for extended period of time. And so this actually increases the risk. So the purpose of the curbs was to reduce the risk to the transaction process. So with those curbs in place, the market rebounded in November after having gone down in October. It's actually a good sign. It shows that the people who were not ready to buy the property, they are not buying. Whereas November's numbers is a good, why we call it a good sign, because it just simply shows that there's a good number of purchasers who are ready and they are also confident of the market. As they see that Singapore is actually recovering pretty well from the COVID-19 situation. And so there were some key confidence drivers for November numbers. Firstly, there was a lot of optimism with the news that Singapore will be receiving the vaccine. And also, projection on the economy shows that we are expected to rebound in a good way in 2021. So going forward, I think a lot of people are quite confident of putting their investment in the property market.
So do you see the private home market's resilience spilling over into December?
I would put that as a definite yes. The spillover effects and the resilience is actually moving pretty strong into December's figures. Primarily because developer sales numbers are launch driven. And so far in December, we have already had two major new launches. The key residences at Sunset Way area, so about 143 units, and Claiborne in Clementi, 442 units. This month for December, we expect total developer sales to cross the 1,000 unit mark. So back to business as usual. And going forward, developers are actually gearing up for more new launches in the months ahead. A total of, 13 new projects are expected to hit the market in the coming months. Why are developers stepping up the launch program instead of winding up for the year end? It's essentially, no one is traveling. So we basically have a captive audience in the month of December, unlike previous years where everybody is traveling. So things, instead of winding down, are actually stepping up in the month of December.
Let's talk about the rental space. Things seem to be stepping up there too. Month over month rental volume for condos increased 3.8%, while HDB rental volume climbed 6.7%. This is surprising, I feel, because border restrictions are still in place. People aren't traveling, like you said. What do you think could have contributed to the rise in rental volumes, Eugene?
Yeah, so that's actually a very good question, because one will be wondering, where are all the demand coming from? The impact of COVID-19 has impacted the construction industry is that quite a number of projects, the delivery dates for the new projects, whether they are BTO, HDB flats, or private condominiums or ECs, quite a number of projects, the delivery time is expected to be delayed for as good as 6 months to sometimes even a year with the slowdown in construction. So actually, this new source of rental demand are actually coming from a group of people. Plans were obviously delayed because of the delayed delivery of the new unit. So these amongst this group of people could be like newly married young couples. They would like to live independently while waiting for their new homes. So they are actually a good number of these people who are renting apartment units. And so that's why we are seeing that despite the no new foreigners coming in, the source of foreign demand is low. We are seeing the rental demand pick up. So it's largely from the domestic audience. And going forward, we can also expect that with the vaccination program coming online progressively, we may expect our borders to open up and more foreigners may be expected to return next year. So next year's rental market or the leasing market also are looking optimistic because we will expect the foreign demand to progressively come back to Singapore. So this is actually good news looking forward. And to tap on recent developments, you would remember that Singapore government has granted 4 digital bank licenses. These calls for highly skilled workers and majority of them are likely to be coming from overseas for the time being. And with these highly skilled workers, they will have a higher rental budget. So actually, things are looking good for the middle and upper tier rental market next year.
And also some large tech companies choosing Singapore as their Asia headquarters.
Oh, yes, yes, that's right. Recently, also, we also have seen quite a number of large tech companies are setting up shop here. So this is good for the rental market going forward.
Mm. Also, another interesting headline out recently, the government said it may apply more subsidies to keep prime HDB flats affordable. What are your thoughts, Eugene?
Well, this is a big irony for me personally. I mean, yes, we need to keep HDB flats affordable, but unfortunately, these HDB flats are located in very prime locations and in the, for example, in the up-and-coming Greater Southern Waterfront. Government has said that in order to keep these flats are expected to be expensive because they are in the south, they have sea view, they are right smack next to the city area.
Yeah.
So the selling price of these flats are expected to be expensive. And as a result, to keep them affordable, government is prepared to throw in more subsidies. So, but the irony is that after you buy, anyone who is fortunate enough to be able to get these flats at the first run, when they are able to resell, they will be reselling at a huge capital gain. So the irony is another problem that we have to tackle when we have these flats is the lottery effect. No? Because essentially, you buy it at subsidized price, but when you resell it, it's at full market price. So market watchers and quite a number of members of public have also voiced their concern that perhaps there need to be other restrictions, right, to so-called prevent this lottery effect. So this could involve, I mean, there are many options on the table, like shorter leases, longer minimum occupation period before you can sell back to the open market, etc., and more taxes and levies. But to me personally, I say, I mean, this is my personal opinion. I would say that why put them there in the first place? If you put them there in the first place, we have to subsidize and we have to come up with a more regulations to regulate the HDB resale market. So you have a two-tier resale market which creates more problems. Essentially, you may not even have to put the flats there to enjoy the prime location. For example, estates like Telok Blangah, Outram, and all that. These are key areas that will benefit from the development of the Greater Southern Waterfront. So there's actually no need to put HDB flats prime smack in the Greater Southern Waterfront area. So I mean, but it has already been announced. So now we have to look at a set of measures to so-called recalibrate the resale market, which is essentially work in progress. So there are a lot of things to consider.
We're speaking with Eugene Lim, who's key executive officer at ERA Realty. Eugene, let's look back at 2020. What do you think were some of the momentous events for Singapore's property market?
I think for those of us in the property market, in the industry, it has to be COVID-19 because essentially COVID-19 changed everything about the property market and it hit us hard and fast. So the negative the negatives of the COVID-19 first. First, April was the worst month. Normally, April in every year is a good month for property, and April became the worst month this year. Show flats were shut for the next 2 months. No physical viewings of any properties were allowed. Constructions were delayed. Foreigners not allowed in. So the whole market came to a standstill in April. And things started to trickle only when after the circuit breaker period. Now, the big positive, there's a big positive that came out of the pandemic. The big positive is that it essentially accelerated the use of digital space and digital media for marketing, sales, and leasing of property. For example, for our company ERA, we kickstarted our ERA Project 360, which is essentially a portal and a website that comprises all of the projects that we are marketing, and our clients, who anybody, any member of the public can actually go into this website. It's a one-stop shop. You can see all the virtual tours of the properties. You can have all the marketing information, project information, or all the properties. So in a sense, it brought forward the online shopping experience of a property, which we have been trying to do for a very long time. In that short space of 2 months lockdown, it accelerated the entire process. So right now, we're very proud that our portal has now got more than 140 new launch projects inside, and our customers can browse any project anytime, anywhere. And bear in mind that people nowadays also want to be financially well advised before they make the any property purchase. We also introduce a robo advisor, the things that you would normally discuss with your banker. But we were able to take all this information, the information required and the know-how, and put it into a robo advisor. So by keying in certain information about the potential buyer, the robo-advisor can churn out a list of properties that actually would match his risk profile, his financial capability. And so, in essence, it also helps to improve the productivity, cut down the shortlisting process, and make it more time effective for both the agent that is serving the buyer as well as the buyer himself.
Do you see it continuing, though? I mean, it's sparked property buying habits changing as well, the pandemic. And do you see the trend evolving in 2021, staying the same? What's going to happen?
Well, I think we already have a good momentum that has been built up, and I would expect this to carry forward into 2021 and beyond. Digital space marketing and robo-advisors and all, these are the things of the day. But going forward, we quite possibly can expect the transaction process to be digitalized, maybe in 2021 or moving into 2022. Right now, the law still requires wet ink signature. So even though I can digitally market the property to you, to close the deal, I still have to send the contract to you to sign. For the seller and buyer to sign physically, because the law does not recognize electronic signature yet. Right. But I believe that is being amended with the Electronic Transaction Act. It's work in progress. And I would expect very soon that perhaps we can sign contracts digitally using the SingPass system. The technology is already there. It's just the law. The law has to recognize it so that it can be fully operational.
Eugene, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Eugene Lim, Key Executive Officer at ERA Realty. This has been Powering Your Property on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.